It should be clear to all of us as true believers that the Holy Spirit has been at work throughout the history of mankind. And of special interest is the working of the Holy Spirit in the lives of true believers. Now, with that statement in mind, go with me to the book of Acts when the day of Pentecost was fully come. In Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come," it was there. They had been counting down, and it is now day 50, and they were assembled in the place where Jesus Christ had told them to wait, because he said, something is going to happen. And then it says, "And they were with all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as it were a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire." In other words, it was a fire came out and then it split. It would be that kind of thing. And it comes out and it splits. And it comes down upon each one of them, each one of these disciples that are there. In verse 4, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit." They were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. "And began to speak with other tongues," or in other languages, or in different languages, "as the Spirit gave them utterance, or as they were able to do so by the aid of the Holy Spirit." So we see the coming of the Holy Spirit on the true believers of Jesus Christ. It was now there. And we see very clearly that that event happened on the Feast of Pentecost. However, have we ever thought about the fact that this coming of the Holy Spirit was promised way back in the Old Testament, way back prior to the coming of Jesus Christ on his first coming as the Messiah? Have you ever really thought about it, that it was a promised event from Old Testament time all the way forward? So here today on this Feast of Pentecost, let's take a look at some, not all, but some of the prophecies we find in the Old Testament of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And then we're going to look at some of the prophecies of the coming of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. And then finally, we want to look at some lessons that we might draw from this as we are true believers today. So with this in mind, let's begin back in the Old Testament, and let's go back to the book and start in Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, which was written, and I'm rounding this off, was written about 750 B.C. So this was a long time before Jesus Christ. Okay? And we understand. But in chapter 44, Isaiah 44 in verse 1, "Yet now hear, O Jacob my servant, and Israel whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made you, and formed you from the womb, which will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your seed," in other words, your descendants, "and my blessing upon your offsprings," even those that are even down the line from that. Verse 4, "And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. One shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord, and surname himself by the name of Israel." So what do we see from this prophecy? Well, in this prophecy, what we see is God pouring out his spirit upon Israel's descendants. This is a future event. This obviously is a future event. This is a prophecy that is going to happen down the line. We see that in chapter 44 and verse 3. And then we see the connecting of the promise of the spirit with the figure of water given to those who are thirsty. And of course, we could go immediately from there over to John chapter 7, where Jesus on the last day of the feast stands up and makes this prophetic statement. We're going to see that later when we come to the New Testament, but it ties right in. And so it's a prophecy yet to even come. And Jesus stands up and says, hey, I'm here. I'm ready to, you know, the beginning of the fulfilling of this. Another prophecy that might relate to the promise of the Spirit in the book of Isaiah is in chapter 32. So let's go to 32 and verse 15. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest, then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. Verse 17. And the work of righteousness shall be peace. How's this work of righteousness going to come about? Because of the outpouring of the Spirit. This obviously, this is tying together. And then the second part of verse 17, and the effect of righteousness will be, it doesn't say that, but you read it in, will be quietness and assurance for a short time. It's not what it says. Forever. Forever. So again, it is talking about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit as a future event, and then it's even talking about the Holy Spirit being poured out, and the effects of it is going to last for way into eternity, forever. Now let's go to another book, Old Testament book of Ezekiel, chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. Let's begin in verse 26. Ezekiel 36, 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Here in this prophecy, what we see is God promises to put His Holy Spirit, it says, within you. In other words, it is going to be, as we refer to it, and as is referred to in other places, as an indwelling. It's going to be there. It's going to reside there. It's going to be within, and that's the point He's making. And also from this prophecy, we see that God's Holy Spirit will cause, will enable one to walk in His statutes and keep them and do God's judgments. And so we see that the Holy Spirit is going to allow people who have this Holy Spirit within to walk God's way, to keep God's ways, and to do God's ways. Another prophecy here in Ezekiel that might relate to the promise of the Holy Spirit is in chapter 39. So let's go there, 39 in verse 29. Ezekiel 39, verse 29. Neither will I hide my face any more from them. Has this happened? Not yet. Because I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, says the Lord God. We notice from here something, and we know this, but it's a real interesting point to make here, and that is that God speaks as if things have already happened. Because at the time of this, the time of the living, the time of the writing of this, they didn't have the Holy Spirit poured upon them yet. They were not at this point seeing the face of God. They were His people, but you got to remember, when Ezekiel is writing, where are the people? They're in a captivity. Why are they in captivity? Because they were not seeking the face of God. They were not living godly way of life. And so they find themselves in a captivity. But from there, God is still promising to pour out His Spirit upon them, and they would see Him. This prophecy, to me, and as I see it, it obviously looks beyond the captivity, and it looks beyond the restoration of Israel. Not only then in ancient Israel, but also that is yet prophesied to even come before the second coming of Messiah. It is one that will not be completely fulfilled until the coming of Messiah. But it's going to happen. This prophecy is going to take place. The outpouring of the Spirit of God. and the people will see the face of God. Let's go to one more book in the Old Testament. There are other places. Like I said, we're not looking at all of the places. We're just looking at some of the places just to get the sense of and the feel of the fact that the Holy Spirit has been promised even from the Old Testament to come. Let's go to the book of Zechariah. In Zechariah chapter 12, in verse 9 we begin, "When that day comes, I will seek to destroy all nations attacking Jerusalem," or Jerusalem. "I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants," or those living in Jerusalem, "the spirit of grace and of supplications," or prayers. "And they shall look upon me," and the "me" here is referring to Jesus Christ. "And they will look upon me." So from this, we know this is still yet a future event. Continue to read. "Whom they have pierced." When this was written, he was not yet pierced. Not physically. The event had been prophesied from the foundation of the world. Jesus, the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. But this event had not yet physically taken place. And so we know from this book, from this prophecy, this outpouring of the Spirit is yet to come. But it is a promise. It was promised in the chapters, in the verses here, that Jesus was going to be pierced. And it also is promising that those who are living, who attempt to live God's way of life, will also have the outpouring of the Spirit of grace and prayer or supplication. "And they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and shall be in bitterness," or in heaviness, "on his behalf," because of what has happened to Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, "as one that is in bitterness," or in heaviness, "for his firstborn." The time is going to come when the people who pierced him, the people who put him to death, is going to mourn because of the fact that we did it. Because who pierced Jesus Christ? We did. We did. So some of the elements or some of the points that we see from this particular prophecy is the fact that the Spirit of grace and prayer is to be poured out on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, those living in Jerusalem, those that have been gathered back there. And it is also showing a prompting of people to look upon Jesus whom they have pierced and to mourn because of what has happened to him. I think it's pretty obvious that we could look at these prophecies and we might be able to look at the prophecies that we just read, these simple ones that we read in Ezekiel and Zechariah, and we may look at those and say, well, it looks like this is a reference to the promise that would be fulfilled in the age of the Messiah, and that might be true and it might be in question. Now, I believe that it is, but it is clearly true that the prophecy that we read in the book of Isaiah, it certainly demonstrates that God promised an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in a very special way. Okay, now let's go and look at some of the prophecies or the promises of the coming of the Holy Spirit found in the New Testament. And we're going to start with John the Baptist. John the Baptist spoke about one coming with the ability who would baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And of course, he was referring to Messiah. So let's go to Matthew chapter 3, Matthew 3 and verse 11. John the Baptist speaking, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Both the gospel accounts that we read in Luke chapter 3 and verse 16 and John chapter 1 and verse 33, both of those say basically the same words. So it's an account. It's stated in three different ones of the gospel accounts. Now, while John the Baptist administered a baptism of water, And certainly that was necessary. Certainly that was something that God had required to do it in that way. He says his was just to repentance. But we also can understand that it was more than that symbolic. But anyway, John administered a baptism in water, and there would be one coming who would be the administrator of a baptism with the Holy Spirit. This promise was made to a large group of people. Only in its fulfillment can it be demonstrated to its full extent, because it's not yet completed. It's not yet completed. We know that it is somehow tied into the events of Pentecost, because that's where this particular thing that John the Baptist is referring to begins to happen. So let's go back to Acts chapter 2 once again. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come. I've already read this, but we're going to read this a couple of times because it gets the point so adequately across here. And they were with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, as it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's the point that I'm making here. This is the beginning of that outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of Holy Spirit. This is what he was referring to. Okay, now let's look at some of the words of Jesus Christ. As he prophesied, as he promised the coming of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, let's begin there in Acts chapter 1 in verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, says he, you have heard of me. The promise of the Father. That's the phrase. Verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. Now, this was the 40th day in the counting when this event took place, where Jesus is speaking these words. And so he said, not many days from now. The not many days was 10 days later. And that's today. And this is what he is referring to. But I want you to pay attention to the fact that it says, the promise of the Father, because we're going to see that again. Okay, so let's look at some of these teachings of Jesus Christ. He said the Spirit would be given to those who ask the Heavenly Father for the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Luke 11 precedes, comes before Acts chapter 1. So this is prior to that event even happening in Acts, when Jesus is ascending up into heaven. But in Luke chapter 11 and verse 13, if you then being evil... In other words, you being human beings, living your life, no matter how we do it, it's a comparative thing. We are evil and God is good, 100% good. We're not 100% evil if we have God's Holy Spirit, but we do things that are not good. And this is how the comparison is going here. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more then shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So Jesus is telling them in this account, and it's also the same thing in Matthew chapter 7, and when he says, ask, knock, and see, and you will receive, you know, is this going to, but in Matthew, he doesn't refer to it as the Holy Spirit. In Luke, it is referred to as the gift of the Holy Spirit, where the Father will give you the Holy Spirit to them who ask him. So Jesus said to them at that time, and certainly for us today, that the Spirit would be given also as living waters to all those who thirst and come to him in faith and drink. So let's go there. This is John chapter 7. I referred to this earlier when we were back in the Old Testament. So let's go to John chapter 7 and verse 37. And the last day, that great day of the feast... This was a prophecy that was given by Jesus Christ, the promising of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And this is the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, or the day that we would refer to as the last great day. that eighth day of the feast. Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the Scriptures have said," and where did the Scriptures say it? We read it in the Old Testament. He's quoting out of the Old Testament. He's bringing that Old Testament forward and saying, "I'm telling you that same thing, and it's still yet to happen." And when it was going to happen to begin was when? When the day of Pentecost was fully come. This is where he's pointing them to. "Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." But he spoke he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus had not yet been crucified, dead, resurrected, and sitting at the right hand of the Father yet. When these words are being spoken of, it is yet prophetic in the time that Jesus is speaking this at that Feast of Tabernacles. But it is a promise, it is a prophecy that the Holy Spirit is coming. It is a prophecy that the Holy Spirit is going to happen. This living water probably is the gift of God that Jesus spoke about earlier in chapter 4. And back in chapter 4. Let's go back to John now, chapter 4. He spoke of it earlier, and this is probably what he was referring to there. In John chapter 4 and verse 10. John 4 and verse 10. "Jesus answered and said unto her, If you know the gift of God, and who it is that says to you, 'Give me drink,' you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living waters." This is where he goes to the well, to the Samaritan, and he says, "Hey, I'm going to get out, you know, waters." You know, and you know that account. We could read the whole account, but it's not that that we're focusing on. It's what he says here. Verse 11, "The woman said unto you, Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From where then do you have this living waters? You tell me, you promised me you're going to, you spoke of that I can give you living waters. You don't even have a bucket. You don't have anything to draw water out in, it's deep. How are you going to do this? Where you got this water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his children and his cattle?" It's an interesting question. It's a good question in under the context if you think about what is happening here. And then verse 13, "Jesus answered and said unto her, Whoso drinks of this water," who drinks of the water from this well, this physical water, "is going to get thirsty again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto eternal life." It's an incredible statement that the woman says afterwards. And we kind of go right over it. "Sir, give me of this water." Give me that. She didn't understand it. She knew that he was saying something that was much greater. "Give me of this water that you are speaking of." And of course, and we remember the comparison of the Spirit to water back in Isaiah's prophecy in Isaiah 44 and verse 3. That's where we read, "For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon your seed and my blessing upon your offspring." It's a prophecy of the Holy Spirit to come. And so here in Samaria, Jesus is telling them, telling this woman at the well, which is an interesting concept in itself too, because people in this day and age did not talk to women in public. And this is who we find Jesus talking to numerous occasions. He draws in people that others are not even going to pay attention to. Now, I don't know what we draw from that other than the fact that the possibility, am I speculating? Yeah, probably. The more obvious ones are not the ones that he went to. Are we the most obvious ones that God would have poured the Spirit upon? Probably not. Probably not. So to his disciples, Jesus promised the Spirit also of the Spirit of truth. So he tells them in several ways the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit. He promised them the Spirit of truth that would be a guide, that would be a helper, that would abide with them and would bring them to remembrance of all things that Jesus had taught them. So let's go there. This is in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Now we can read all of this, but I'm not going to. I'm going to read just selected verses here. In John 14 and verse 16, "And I will pray, or I will ask the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, another helper, another guide, one that walks alongside to help." This word is parakletos, and it means to walk alongside help. It's an aid. It's like you're going out to do a job, you have a helper that walks alongside to help you out in whatever way. Is this aid, is a helper there with you, responsible for doing the job and going to see to it that you do the job, that you're responsible? No, you're responsible. But it's an interesting concept that he says, that he may, and I realize it says he, and we understand the Holy Spirit is not a he or is not a she, it's an it, but I'm going to read the words here. "He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth." Remember I told you that he promised them the Spirit of truth. "Whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him because the Spirit dwells with you and shall be in you." It is now walking alongside of you. This is what he's saying. And then come all the way down to verse 26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name." Hasn't happened yet. They had the Spirit with them, is what it is, says, walking alongside. It's with you, but not yet in you. It's not abiding in you, not indwelling. You remember back in the Old Testament, it says it's going to be an indwelling. That hasn't happened yet. And he's telling them, it hasn't happened yet, but it's going to. This is a prophecy that he's telling them. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." How are we supposed to remember what Jesus Christ has taught us? How are we supposed to remember what he has promised us and told us out of the pages of the Bible? He promised that it would be part of the Spirit that would be poured out upon his people. That Spirit that came this day about 2,000 years ago. So here are some of the other things that we're not going to read, but you can read them, that Jesus also said the Holy Spirit would do. I have these as bullets, you know, just little points, and if you want to write these down, you can do so. And I will give you verses, and you can read these later. I don't want to read all of these verses. The first one I have is the Spirit will bear witness of Christ together with the apostles. That's in John 15, verse 26 and 27. The next one, that the Spirit will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. That's in John 16, verse 7 through 11. The next one, he tells them that the Spirit would guide the apostles unto all the truth, including things to come. That's in John 16, verses 12 and 13. The next one, that the Spirit would glorify God by taking of what is his and declaring it unto them. I'm basically just taking words from the verses. This is in John 16 in verse 14. Another one, Jesus told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem until they received the promise of the Father. And that's in Luke 24 and verse 49 and Acts 1 verses 4 and 5. We read that earlier. And in connection with that one, Jesus clearly connected this to the baptism of the Spirit that was spoken of by John. I mean, you can see that in the context. That's what he does. And then I have one more that Jesus talking to the disciples, talking to the true believers, that the Spirit would do, and that is the apostles would receive power and be witnesses. That's in Acts 1 and verse 8. Acts 1 and verse 8. Okay, now with all that we've seen, let's go back to the day of Pentecost, and it has fully come. Let's go back to Acts chapter 2. And we see on this Feast of Pentecost where Peter, who stands up for the 11, ties the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to the prophecy of Joel. We didn't read Joel. I'm going to leave that, and you can go back and read it, but he says it right in it, basically what Joel says. But let's go back here to Acts chapter 2. Let's go down to verse 14. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 14, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, You men of Judea, and all you that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words." Listen to what I'm telling you. "For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel." And what Joel says in summation is that there would be an outpouring upon the Holy Spirit. It's another prophecy that is yet to happen at the Old Testament time. But it is prophesied to come, and he says, Peter stands up and says, and this is the beginning of that. Then in the main message, the main part of his, as we would call it, the sermon on Pentecost here, Peter speaks of the outpouring of the Spirit as a promise Jesus received from the Father. In other words, Jesus received the Holy Spirit as a promise from the Father. That's what he's saying. Let's look. It's in Acts chapter 2 and verse 33. "Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted," he's obviously speaking about Jesus being resurrected. Remember, he had ascended 10 days earlier, so he is now at the right hand of the Father. This is what he's saying. "And having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit." That's what he says. Jesus was also a recipient of the promise of the Holy Spirit to come. And so when Jesus Christ came, he had the Holy Spirit that had been promised. This is what he's telling us. This is what Peter is saying. "And he has shed forth this which you now see and hear." You are seeing the recipient of the Spirit that Jesus had, and the same Spirit is now poured upon these men that you are seeing here. No, they're not drunk with the Holy Spirit, even though they're able to speak with, they're speaking in languages that they may not understand, because they didn't have these. They were not people who had gone to the seminaries and they had learned 14 different languages and all of these kinds of things, and are speaking in unknown tongues to them. They were not unknown tongues. They were not languages that they were fluent in. But the miracle was in those who were hearing it in their own language. That's the miracle that is happening here. And this is what Peter is saying. And you're seeing the result of this. Jesus had the promise of the Holy Spirit, and now we've received the same promise of the Holy Spirit. And that's what you're seeing. That's what you're witnessing here. Let's go back to chapter 1, Acts chapter 1. Verse 4 and 5 again. "And being assembled together with them," this is referring to Jesus Christ, "commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, said he, you have heard of me." You've heard of the Spirit, of the promise of the Father from me. I've told you that it's going to happen. He told them as he walked the physical earth in the physical flesh and blood and bone being. He also had told them from the prophecies from the Old Testament that this was going to happen. This is what he's telling them here. "For John the Baptist even baptized with water, but you are going to receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit not many days from now."